Christmas to you, Mark. SouthHurricaneTrack.com here. Welcome to another edition, another chapter of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. It is December 25th, 2019. Hope you're having a great Christmas with you and yours. Here in the Southeast United States, it is nice and mild this Christmas, so that's good. 30 years ago, we had like 12 to 15 inches of snow on the ground back in 1989. Believe it or not, yep, we had a big blizzard here in Southeast North Carolina, and somebody like me, of course, I loved that. That was a lot of fun. Nothing like that since then, though. It's kind of rare to have it snow much around these parts, but I digress. This is the fourth chapter of the Stories from the Hurricane Highway podcast series, and tonight we're going to look back at the year 1998, another pivotal year, a developmental year for my career, and we add one more hurricane to the pile. Now I will have been in, after 1998, I believe that would make it three hurricanes. I was in Bertha in 1996. I was in the eye of Hurricane Fran in 1996. We had nothing in 1997 to speak of, certainly not in the Carolinas. And then in 1998, that hurricane, of course, was Bonnie, which we will get to in just a moment. So, when I last left you guys, we were talking about my work with the city of Wilmington, doing mapping in their GIS department. Of course, I had done hurricane tracking charts in 1997 for the Wilmington market, as well as Raleigh and Chapel Hill and Goldsboro with the Curtis Media Group. And it was all very successful. We had the beginnings of this Project Impact initiative from FEMA that would put seed money in New Hanover County. And this was really going to open the door for me in a very, very special and big way. And that is part of what we will discuss in tonight's chapter. Moving right along, 1998. So the year started and I was an employee at the city of Wilmington in their mapping department. I was helping to update their parcels and input information into their geographic information system. And then I would go out into the field and verify different parcels. It was okay. It was a good group of people. They all knew very much about my ambitions and my interest in weather and hurricanes. Some of them probably even had one of my hurricane tracking charts. And I knew this was probably a temporary job as well. And I really wanted to move forward with becoming a full-time entrepreneur. And so, you know, here's a little bit of a spoiler. 1998, this is like, if I ever get to the point, legendary enough or whatever, that there's Trivial Pursuit questions about me. I mean, I know I'm, you know, that's silly, but here's a trivia question for you. Here's the answer. The last year that I worked for somebody else, you know, punching a time card or whatever, as they say, working for the man, was 1998. That was it. After that year, and starting that year, I went full-time, whatever that means, to be working for myself, so to speak. Although, as you know, you never really work for yourself. You're still working for the people. It's like you guys, I work for you. You are all the people that I work for, but we're all in it together. You know how it works now. But back then, I just didn't want to work some more 8 to 5, punch a time card, come in, move my rocks, you know, like Fred Flintstone, and then punch out. That's just not what I wanted to do. And so I made sure of that starting in 1998. So as the spring progressed, there was a meeting in downtown Wilmington, New Hanover County Department of Emergency Management, led by Dan Summers back in the day, as well as city leaders, county leaders, the county manager, the mayor, several large business entities, AT&T, Harris Teeter Grocery Stores, Carolina Power and Light, which is now, of course, Duke Energy, and New Hanover Regional Medical Center, the state port, GE, Corning, the very, very big employers in Wilmington, UNC Wilmington, the college here. We all got together for this big kickoff meeting in this event to really roll out Project Impact to the community. This was in the spring of 1998. And at the same time, I had begun work laying out a mock-up of what I wanted the 1998 edition of my hurricane tracking chart to look like. We actually call it a hurricane tracking poster, by the way. Back in the day, it was not a chart, it was a friggin' poster, because it was huge. Remember, it's 28 by 40 inches. So we had this big meeting, and I was invited to speak and sort of unveil the next generation. We were going to move up to full color. I had worked with this guy, Dan Higgins, at Higgins Offset and Thermography, and that's a local printing shop. He helped me with the graphic design, and he was teaching me also along the way. I was learning through his apprenticeship, really. You know, I was his apprentice, unbeknowing to him. I mean, it was just by default. I paid so much attention that I was learning about 300 DPI artwork, full color, CMYK printing, etc. You know, typefaces, fonts, logo placement, PageMaker, Photoshop, Illustrator, and all of this was on a Mac. I was learning this on Dan's Macintosh. Still, as the producer and the director of this project, I would look over his shoulder and, okay, let's put this here, slide that up a little. Can we make that red or green? You know, I was still looking over his shoulder, but I was still, at the same time, learning a lot. And so, at this meeting in the spring of 1998, I had this nice 28 by 40 mock-up of what the new tracking poster was going to look like for 1998. And it was going to go full color, what we call CMYK, full color process. Full color, which meant we could do a whole lot more than ever before, obviously. So we were going to graduate from using two colors, red and blue, on white paper, to full color processing, what they call full color processing, CMYK. And boy, the audience was just very impressed, very eager to work with me. So literally after that, my presentation, and after the meeting was over, several local businesses came up, gave me their business cards, wanted to do business with me, get involved in this whole idea of public-private partnership to build a disaster-resistant community. And so I was going to work with New Hanover County, and I was going to work with these local businesses and the media in Wilmington. Again, it was WAAV, which was now going to be part of a larger radio group called Cumulus Broadcasting. Cumulus is a radio group. They bought up a bunch of properties around the Southeast. And I was also going to expand, drum roll please, you know, into television. Yeah. I got in touch with the TV station in Charlotte, WCNC, I believe it is, the NBC affiliate in Charlotte, and Wavy, WAVY, Channel 10 in Portsmouth, Virginia, as well as, I think that it was WCIV, Channel 4, down in Charleston, if memory serves. You think I'd remember all this, but that's a long time ago. And so remember, I had this franchise method of doing things, so to speak, where I would contact the director of sales or the sales manager or the news director and the meteorologist. Here's my idea. Your station, whether it's radio or television, would have the exclusive hurricane tracking poster produced by me in your market. You go get the advertisers, and here's how much I'm going to charge you to do it. Period. And they either said yes or no. And they all said yes. It's like, whoa. So now I am in Southeast Virginia, the Triangle of North Carolina with the Curtis Media Group, Charlotte, North Carolina with the NBC affiliate, and Wilmington with Cumulus and Wave Radio, and Charleston, South Carolina. And I produced, I can't even remember, hundreds of thousands of maps that year. And my gosh, it was so exciting because each area, the front of the map was basically the same, the poster. It's a huge tracking chart. And then it would have advertisements around the perimeter. And then on the back, you'd have this 28 by 40 piece of real estate that you could fill with information. Remember, we talked about that all the way back to you know, the first couple of years I started my business. I had all that paper to work with. So this was not a pamphlet or a three-panel brochure. This was a huge poster. And so if it was Charlotte, I was able to address inland issues, flash flooding, Hurricane Hugo, a historical perspective. Mitigation was a big key to all of this. How do you mitigate damage inland? You know, trimming your trees. I mean, I really put a lot of effort into tailoring the poster, the tracking chart for each community. And that really made a difference. We were going full color. So I would even go out and I would take pictures of examples of mitigation. Air conditioning units being elevated, you know, several feet above the beach. Different measures people could take. Propane tanks being secured properly and elevated. How you secure and mitigate damage to marine interest, your boat, okay, your jet ski, whatever the case may be. And I was really like on fire with this. It was like, it was the golden age. It really was. It was the beginning of it, that's for sure. And I was really in my own. You know, I was allowed to be free to just go forward with this. And so by late spring, early summer, I was able to quit at the city of Wilmington, you know, submitted my resignation. I'm like, look, I'm going to pursue this full time. And that's what I did. I sure did. I don't remember exactly how much money I made, but I was making decent money from these clients, these media partners, and the businesses, etc. I mean, it was so remarkable. I felt so lucky to be able to really do this and to put my early years of hurricane information knowledge in my head that I learned at school and through a couple of events with Bertha and Fran in 1996. But really, it was that passion and my drive and my deep interest at educating the public in a way that was different, that would leave a lasting impression, that went beyond the typical information that was being put out there. So those maps all went to press. We had, like I said, hundreds of thousands of them out there. Really, really a remarkable time. And then we got into the summer of 1998, and not much activity until late August. And lo and behold, there was a hurricane coming. And I had, this is a funny story here, how all this works. In 97, like I said, I had my first son, my first child, Nathan, was born. And I didn't make much money, and I had a lot of college debt. And so I wasn't doing very well, you know, and my wife was working full time. And so I surrendered my car and just didn't pay for it anymore. I had a Nissan Sentra. And I'm like, okay, well, I won't need a car. My wife is the one that goes to work. I'm going to work at home. And so that's kind of what I did. And so I let him repossess my car and, yeah, whatever. So, and this is important, you'll see. And it's not a sob story at all. It's just the way it is. You know, I got in over my head as a college student with too much debt. It's real easy to do. And I just didn't need a $379 a month car payment, I guess. And the insurance on the car, etc. So I let them come pick it up. I don't remember when it was exactly. It doesn't matter. But I was, you know, vehicle-less for the most part. But then, in an interesting thing, in 98, here comes Bonnie. Hurricane Bonnie. Second name storm of the season. And it was coming right at the Carolinas, it seemed. It looked like this was going to be a big deal. Now remember, I had a Gateway 2000 computer. So I was able to keep on top of things a lot more than I had ever done before. I could read the National Hurricane Center advisories back when the forecast discussion would say at the top of it, I think it's what it said at the top, for intergovernmental use only. I don't remember what year they quit doing that, but I'm pretty sure it was still there in 1998. It was supposed to be not top secret, but it wasn't meant, the discussion was not meant to go out to the public. That's what the public advisory is for. But anyway, so Bonnie's coming. And I had a little bit of a presence on social media at the time. There was some social media all the way back in the day in the form of this something called GeoCities. You guys remember that? GeoCities. And so you'd have, it was kind of like an early version of MySpace, or what we now know as Facebook. You could have your own corner of the internet at GeoCities and whatever interest you had, if you were into music, if you were into, you know, weather, whatever, it didn't matter. You could have your own kind of space out there. And I was on GeoCities as kind of like the hurricane guy or something, I don't know. And you meet other people. And I it's funny because I don't recall, as much as I've thought about it over the past 21 years, exactly how I met this guy. But there was a student at UNC Charlotte who was in atmospheric science and meteorology by the name of Jamie Arnold. And he and I had a common interest with hurricanes and somehow knew that I wanted to go into hurricanes, chase hurricanes, whatever you want to call it. And so as Bonnie was coming, he said, I'd like to come down and help you. You know, and again, it's so, like, I wish I had found those emails from long ago to try to figure out how did all this happen. But it did. And so Jamie came to Wilmington and we were going to use his truck. He had a little pickup truck. I can't remember. I think it was a Chevy pickup. And we were going to ride around because I told him I don't have a car. And I was going to use my wife's car. And she drove, here you go, hope you're sitting down. She drove a little pink Hyundai Accent. True story. It was a, I think that it was manual shift, right? So you had to have a stick shift. So a little pink Hyundai Accent. And I remember I took her to work, and she was going to have to be at work for the duration. That's what they do. It's lockdown procedure, whatever. So she was going to be there for a few days as this hurricane was coming. And it was a real big deal because we had Project Impact. Everybody's like hyper aware. We've got this movement afoot to be more disaster resistant. Let's see what we learned and applied since Bertha and Fran. So here comes Bonnie. Everybody's all hands on deck. Business, industry, media, emergency management, and Mark, you know? So I went down to the emergency management office, the EOC, documented a little bit here and there. And I drove everywhere I needed to go until Jamie got to town in my wife's pink Hyundai. And I had a Davis weather station. Remember in the chapter in 1996 when I talked about that I took my weather station down to Wrightsville Beach to the drawbridge and held it up, and that's the first picture taken ever of me doing what I do, and that is the logo for Mark Suddeth Productions. That's the picture. That weather station stayed on my house. We, my wife and I and our baby Nathan lived in Leland. And so I drove her car everywhere. What I was going to do is I was going to take the, I'm trying to remember exactly. She didn't work. That's right. Cause I was not going to stay home with a baby. Duh. I think she rented something or I rented something and she was going to go ahead and take off and I was going to keep the Hyundai. That's what it was. Sorry. I told you this is all shooting from the hip. Just like we're sitting around recalling my life in the hurricane world anyway. That's what it was. She wasn't working. She was going to be off and she was going to take Nathan in a rental. We got like a van. I remember that. I even have video of him. And they were going to evacuate to Greensboro and just head up there. So I had the pink Hyundai. So anywhere I needed to go, I was in the pink Hyundai. And I even thought about taking the weather station and drilling holes in the top of the Hyundai to fasten some U-bolts or clamps or something and try to attach a PVC pipe to my wife's car to get anemometer readings. That's how weather geek desperate I was back in the day. And I didn't have a drill. Thank goodness they would do it. And I gave up. So anyway, not long after, Jamie shows up and he and I drove around and documented Hurricane Bonnie. We drove, you know, down to Wrightsville Beach. We had a pass from New Hanover County Emergency Management to do so. We would, you know, gather information, pressure readings whenever we could. I had a barometer. I at least could take that with me. And then we would be able to call in anything that we saw. Any reports, I could phone it in to them or the National Weather Service and be kind of like a spotter. So I had permission in Jamie Arnold's truck, we could go wherever we wanted. excuse me while I get some water. I'm still got a little bit of a cold here. I don't know if you can notice, but just a slight cold this fine Christmas day. So I keep the water handy. Oh, that's good. Nice, ice cold water. Nothing beats it. So Jamie and I go all around. Hurricane Bonnie comes up, and it's a big deal. You know, like I said, everybody was talking about it, and the beaches were evacuated. You know, it was a Category 3 major hurricane again for the Cape Fear area, and sure enough, it made landfall right along the Cape Fear coast. Pretty substantial damage along the beaches, but then it did, you know, stalled out over eastern North Carolina, southeast North Carolina, and it rained and rained and rained, so it was a big flood event, and, you know, we drove in and out of the eye of it. I remember that. Jamie and I, we drove down into Brunswick County, drove into the eye. We were able to leave the eye, come back up, and then the thing wobbled up towards Pender County and drove into the eye in Pender County. And we were real lucky, you know, now that I know what I know. I mean, driving around in a Category 2 or 3 hurricane is not very smart, but, you know, you either get really lucky or you live long enough to learn how to do it right. And I guess I did both, but we did. We captured some great data, took some good video, phoned in information to the National Weather Service, to the New Hanover County Emergency Operations Center, and it was a success. It was like a fully documented hurricane from my perspective. And I thought, wow, you know, this just keeps happening here in North Carolina. I'm never going to have to go anywhere. So after Bonnie came and went, Jamie and I hit it off real well. You know, maybe we can do this in the future. Sure, sounds good. So I also thought, I need a name for this. You know, not just, well, I'm Mark Suddeth and I chase hurricanes. We got to have like a group name. Everything has a name or an acronym. NASA, NOAA, you know, the NBA, the NFL, everything. Everything that's cool has a name and an acronym associated with it, right? So that's what I did. After Bonnie, I thought, you know, what's the name going to be? And I came up with the Hurricane Intercept Research Team, HIRT, HIRT, Hurricane Intercept Research Team. I'm like, you and I will be the founding members, whatever. And there you go. So he went on back to Charlotte and continued on with his studies, of course. Now, Jamie, if you didn't know this, works at WMBF, I think it is, WMBF, and he is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, at WMBF, and he's a meteorologist there. Been there for quite a while. He's married. I don't know, got a couple kids, I believe. Good family man, very well respected there, and he is the chief meteorologist. He is. He's, you know, been there ever since he graduated, I guess. He probably started somewhere and moved up, but he is the chief met at WMBF in Myrtle Beach. How about that? And he and I got our start together in Hurricane Bonnie on the southeast North Carolina coast back in 1998. So then along comes George, Hurricane George. It's George with an S. George, I guess it's French. But and of course, it, you know, ravaged Puerto Rico. The eye, the core went right down the spine of Puerto Rico and headed up towards the Florida Keys, and you guys will never know how bad I wanted to be down there. Are you kidding me? It was so painful to not have the means to do that. You know, the money to go, the infrastructure that I would need, a car, an armored car, whatever. You know, there was just no way to do it. So I had to watch it on the Weather Channel, which, you know, hey, that was the next best thing, right? The Weather Channel and CNN, they sent Jeff Flock out, CNN did. Of course, the Weather Channel with Jim Cantore and their vast field crew, always knocking it out of the park for hurricane coverage. So I watched it that way. And then, of course, it came on into the Gulf and it made landfall. It scared the heck out of New Orleans, and they had the whole debacle of trying to evacuate people into the Superdome, and people were tearing up seats, and yeah, it just was this big mess, which big hurricanes tend to do that, and it made landfall along the Gulf Coast, and I wasn't there for that. And it was so utterly frustrating because I really wanted to continue this field work, learning more about what hurricanes do, and That's what I was really starting to understand after being through Bertha, Fran, and now Bonnie, all in my hometown, and in my home region anyway. You know, it was not the thrill of it, you know, that, oh, I want to go out and stand in 100 mile per hour wind, and it's not Mark versus the Hurricanes. This is no, you know, it was about the science and the understanding of what they do and how they do it. How does all of this damage that we know happens happen? How does it work? And I really wanted to understand that. And it was so frustrating to not be able to just go at a moment's notice and be in hurricanes. And, you know, I had no idea about what was to come 20 years later, you know, with technology. Of course I didn't. Back then, you were lucky to have a video camera. I had a Hi8 camcorder. We talked about that on a couple episodes back. Keep forgetting, this is all chapters, not episodes, but I guess they can enter. You can use those terms interchangeably. But yeah, I mean, I had a camcorder, Davis weather station, and a pink Hyundai that belonged to my wife. So I had to watch George from the sidelines, but, you know, 98 ended on a very positive note for my business. I made more money, and, with you know, money is what makes the world go round. That's the painful truth here, that's the way it goes. And so, yes, I was earning money. We had, you know, our son, Nathan, and it turns out by the end of 1998, we figured out, funny how that happens, you just, you know, the stork delivers the mail or whatever, oh, you're going to have another kid, this time in May of 1999. But that's in 1999, we'll get to that next week. But I finished the year way ahead of where I began in 98. I was my own boss. I was doing my own projects. I knew a lot more about computers from this extremely generous tutor, whatever you want to call him, you know, Dan Higgins at Higgins Offset there that I talked about. Him teaching me what I needed to do this on my own would be absolutely game changing for the future, that eventually I would take it over and do it myself, especially as my projects got bigger and bigger. So Project Impact continued and it gained traction. My visibility within the community and emergency management and elsewhere went up. It was still a tough nut to crack though, with people that really didn't know me that well and heard about my ambitions for tracking hurricanes in person or chasing them. I hate that term, but you know, there were still those that had doubts, you know, no, that's very dangerous. You know, you're going to get hurt. You're going to put yourself in harm's way. I mean, they always had good intentions, but I don't think, and it's hard when you're just starting out, you don't just come out with, unless you're a PhD, I guess, right? If I was Dr. Mark Suddeth from, you know, FSU with a degree in meteorology, I probably would pay attention. I get that. So you have to earn the credibility. And I'm not saying you don't earn it if you get a PhD, but you know, you can't boil down 20 years of hurricane field experience in a classroom over 4 to 6 or 8 years if you get a master's and then finally a doctorate. You can't. And I don't care, any PhD out there who has not been in 20 years worth of hurricanes doesn't understand everything there is to know about hurricanes by far. And I think that's just logic. And so it also works the other way, that no matter how much ambition and passion and drive I had, you have to earn it 1 year at a time, one hurricane season at a time, one event at a time. And so that's what I was learning. I don't want to say the hard way, but it was difficult not to be able to just walk into somebody's office and, as much as I wanted them to say, oh man, it's Mark Suddeth, as if Jim Cantore walked in, everybody knew who he was, or Max Mayfield at the National Hurricane Center. Of course, I can't remember, he came on after the 90s, but you know what I'm saying? My reputation did not quite precede me yet. It was getting there, and there would be some big changes in 1999, some events and some amazing things that would make that change in my benefit. in my favor, but it wasn't there yet. You had to earn it. And so as a young entrepreneur with all this passion and all this energy, trust me, it is a very difficult thing to be patient, to sit there and let time go by and learn over time, evolve over time. And not only do you have to be patient, but you have to be persistent and not give up. And any hardships that came along, and there was only a handful back in the early parts of my career. I mean, I obviously did it in the right place. Pure luck, right? Graduated from UNC Wilmington. Hurricane started coming back, 96, 98. We're up to 3 in a row. Well, not counting 97, but you get what I'm saying. We had Bertha, Fran, and now Bonnie. So things were, you know, starting to really point in the direction that Mark was going to have a very interesting and successful career. But again, it's hard to understand that the future will come soon enough. And I guess you got to be careful not to rush things, because then you sit around and you go, man, I wish everything could slow down. It's weird how that works, isn't it? So we end 1998 on a very, very positive note. My wife and I would be looking forward to the birth of our second son in May of 1999. We'll get to that, like I said, in next week's episode. All right. So there you go. That is it for this chapter of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. I look back at 1998. Very interesting year again. You know, met Jamie Arnold, who's now, of course, like I said, down at WMBF. My work with the emergency management community, all of this building blocks, all of this coming together, the framework was being set for to the moment, when we'll get to this next week, that 1999 would become this benchmark year. All these other years were kind of anchors along the way. The 99, as we'll talk about next week, truly became a benchmark year, and we will discuss that next week. All right, thanks as always for tuning in. Again, I wish you and yours a very wonderful, happy, merry Christmas. Your support, your patronage here on Patreon and the Hurricane Track Insider Group. Some of you have been members and supporters for more than 10 years. Are you kidding me? That's incredible. And I am very humbled and blessed and thankful for that every single day. It's just wonderful to be able to sit here and talk to you. And that's what I decided back in the summer, when things were really looking good for Patreon this year and it really grew. I thought, you know, I am going to do something special for these folks who have done so much for me, that giving them this insight into my early career, and then as you'll see as things go on over the next few years as this podcast grows, the later parts of my career, I wanted to make sure I did something really special. And this is truly not available anywhere else. I don't publish it on YouTube. It's not going to be on Google Podcast or Apple, anything like that. It's only through Patreon and our Hurricane Track Insider site for those that are not on Patreon and can't access it through the app. It's just a very special way for me to say thank you back for supporting what I am doing. So thank you very much. Again, have a great rest of your Christmas. It's almost 8 o'clock Eastern as I finish this up. So let's see, a week from now, today is the 25th. So we will be into, let's see, it's the 25th plus 6 would be the 3rd. It would be about January 1st, a week from now, right? All right. I was never good at math, clearly. So anyway, I am Mark Seddeth, HurricaneTrack.com. As always, I appreciate you tuning in to the Stories from the Hurricane Highway podcast. I will talk to you again on the first day of 2020.